I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes' Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
Well, Katie, I think a lot of people feel powerless when it comes to addressing the climate crisis. And they do see stories about what's happening to the world, and they say, well, I can try to recycle, I can try to drive less, but ultimately, what can I do? That's something that our next guest, Paul Hawken, tries to address in his latest book, Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. Paul Hawken is an environmentalist and author. He's an entrepreneur. He's an activist. He's dedicated his life to environmental sustainability and changing the relationship between business and the environment. And he joins us now on the phone from the San Francisco Bay Area. Paul, it's really great to have you on the show. Congratulations on your most recent book, Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. How do we do it? How do we get to the point where we don't feel powerless?
Well, I think we feel powerless, and thank you very much for inviting me onto the program. We feel powerless because of what is being told to us. And the climate narrative, if we can call it that, has been for quite a long time, from the science point of view, which is a future existential threat, and if we don't do this, things are going to get worse. And it's great science, and they've been absolutely spot on in terms of their predictions. And then what happened is that a tactic that was really adopted from tobacco, which was taken up by British Petroleum, and there was individuated the problem, which is that we just drill, you know, oil wells and sell gas. You can calculate your carbon footprint, you know, as if you can solve the problem, you know. And so, yeah, you can drive less, get a bike, recycle, use cold water in your washing machine, put power strips in your home entertainment center. These are some of the solutions that are coming out, you know. And what happened is individuals would listen to that and understand that that made sense, it did lower impact, but unless you had, you know, IQ lower than room temperature, you knew that they were completely inadequate to the task at hand because you were reading the headlines, you know?
Right, it's like sustainability theater, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it makes you feel disempowered. As an individual, go, oh, man, this is worse than I thought. And so... And then people then turn to big government, you know, government is big by de facto, but I mean government, and just say, well, you know, you should do something, you know, but there's only certain things government can do, and they should, and they're not, and they haven't been, but that's, so I'm for that, but government is the slowest institution to move, not the fastest. And so to look to government to adopt policies, you know, that are complex, you know, but actually would make a difference is kind of, you know, it's kind of a prayer, a wing and a prayer. And so then people feel like, well, if, you know, they think that the only thing that can happen is between the individual, the individuated individual, he, she, by himself, herself, and then government in its enormity. And what regeneration talks about is actually the gold, the juice, is in them between those two. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the two opposites at all.
And, I mean, sustainability theater. I feel frustrated all the time whenever I get a paper straw in a restaurant. I think about all the carbon in the atmosphere. But, Paul, I want to ask, where do we go from here? Because at the individual level, there's frustration. Like you say, government can be slow to move. How do we ultimately get started and fix this?
Two things. One is... right now, there's no difference between a climate denier and somebody who understands the problem and does nothing. From the Earth's point of view, they're the same people, you know.
Wow.
And so you have 40, 50% of people who understand it and who are doing nothing. You have 98% of the world is disengaged. And no matter how you see this, you can't read the science and not understand that this is the greatest crisis humanity has ever faced and probably will, you know, when you think about it. And so how do we become disengaged? And that's your question in reverse, you know, which is how do we become engaged? And the way we do it is we talk about it in a very different way. And we talk about possibilities instead of probabilities, number one. Number two, the rhetoric that came out of science, which was good, which is about existential threat, which occasioned fear, activists took that over, got to science, then they blamed, shamed, you know, mm-hmm. and pointed fingers and so forth. You know, you're the cause, you're the problem, Exxon, you're it, you know, so forth.
Right.
And then you then communicate to people with fear, threat, you know, shame, blame, you know, finger pointing and, you know, calving glaciers. And,
right.
And then you expect them to do something. They're gone. Well, they're off. That channel has been turned off, you know.
Yeah. The engagement element is very important. We're going to talk more about it in just a few minutes. Paul Hawken, sit tight because we're going to be back with you after we do some news. Paul Hawken is environmentalist and author, also the author of his new book, Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.
Let's get right back to Paul Hawken, environmentalist and author. He's also the author of Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. The book came out yesterday. He's also the author of other books as well. He joins us once again on the phone from San Francisco. Paul, I have the book in my hand right now, and there are a couple things that I notice. One is it's very visually rich. There are lots and lots of photographs, beautiful photographs from all around the world in the book. The other thing that I notice is how collaborative of an approach this book was. The first page is just a list of staff, researchers, contributing writers, essayists, advisors to the book, to the project. Take us through your approach here.
Sure, because most books around climate, whether they're describing the dangers or the solutions, are pretty much somebody saying, look it, I've done the research, I know you don't, listen up. You know, and you may want to do that for sure and so forth. I feel like the conversations we need to have that are constructive are the we talking to we. It's us talking to each other, in other words. And so if we don't have the world inside our organization, inside our board, you know, inside the creation of this thing, then how can we trust ourselves to create a voice that's going to reach as many people as possible? It's a very diverse world now. And so it works better. It's more fun. We have the book. It does have a lot of photographs, and the reason is that goes to a different part of the brain, and it does show things that are quite beautiful. And one of the reasons for that is to try to help people fall in love with the living world, because they've disaggregated climate from the living world. They think it's a thing. It's not a thing. It's part of the biosphere. You know, you hear terms like we're going to fight it and battle it and combat it and mitigate it, and that doesn't work. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to mitigate today, you know? I mean, and so we're trying to sort of re-knit that together, that sensibility that the climate is not wrong. It is perfect. It is responding exactly to the biosphere. The biosphere is creating climate. Nature never makes a mistake.
Huh.
We do. And what we're getting is homeschooling. We're getting homeschooled by the planet every day and say, take a look at this. What do you think about this? Yep, that was a bad one. you know, I'm not trying to minimize people's loss or suffering, not at all. I'm not laughing at that. I'm just saying is that when you look at it from that point of view, then it's feedback. And any system that ignores feedback perishes. And so we're a system. We're called humanity. We're called civilization. We live here on this beautiful planet, and it's giving us feedback. And our response has been really inadequate. And we're trying to change that so that regeneration, the term, it has big arms. It enlarges. It's what we are. We are regenerative. All of life regenerates. It's what, you know, all 30 trillion cells in your body right now, every nanosecond, are regenerating. I mean, you wouldn't be having this conversation if that wasn't true. So regeneration is innate to us as people, as families, as fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts, you know, is like, this is what we do every day, you know? And so I wanted to take the climate conversation and not to dismiss the technological solutions, or certainly not to dismiss renewable energy, which is vitally important, but to break it open to, in a larger sense, so that people feel like that impetus they have innate to them to regenerate life on Earth mm-hmm. not only creates more life, but it brings us, ourselves, back to life.
And so, Paul, let's talk about the regeneration process, because I'm looking at page 249 of your book. You've laid out a few guidelines. I mean, what principles should people be keeping in mind as, you know, they try to regenerate, which, like you lay out, our bodies are doing every day, every minute?
Well, the first principle is to understand just a working definition, which is mine, and you can do it yourself, you know, your own definition, but mine is to put life at the center of every act and decision. In other words, does this harm life or does it increase life? Pretty simple question, really.
But how do you answer a question like that? Because, you know, I think about it from the perspective of, you know, what I'm going to do for dinner tonight, right?
Sure.
I think we're going to order pizza.
Yeah.
Does that harm, you know, it's going to be delivered on to us.
How?
In a bicycle.
There you go.
which I guess is good.
Yeah.
You know, but does that harm life, or does it reduce life? Does it help? Should I have gone to the grocery store? Should I not have ordered groceries online? Should I go walk by foot to get groceries? I mean, there are all these questions that we can try to answer with that checklist every day,
sure.
And we don't necessarily know the answers to them.
Of course not. Let's just turn the question around and say, do you want to degenerate life on Earth? I don't think so. That's not your purpose. That's not why you're here. And that's what the entire economic sector does. It extracts life. If you just go down any supply chain, you'll find when you get to it, not very far, that it is taking life itself, you know, removing it, killing it, you know. And the fact is that that's degeneration. So the book is saying, well, that road doesn't go much further. We can see the end of that. That's ocean acidification. That is extreme weather. That is fires we can't even put out, you know, not just the fires, not just the northern hemisphere is on fire. We don't even know how to put the fire out anymore. They're so big. And so we can see, like, do we still want to go down that road any further? I don't think so. So regeneration is just a 180. It's a pivot. And it is step by step, bit by bit. But at least the question is there. For example, you could, like, does it or does it not? And does it create more life or reduce it? Does it, most importantly, does it steal the future or does it heal it? And we have this idea that the world economic system works the way it does and makes so much money for so many people, blah, 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 because it works. Well, yes, and it is also stealing our future. If it wasn't stealing our future, there wouldn't be all these headlines about what's happening to the environment, to Earth, to people, et cetera. And so we pose the question as, what would it look like to have an economy that heals the future? That would be a GDP, too. Mm. That would be revenues, too. That would be companies as well. But a very, very different orientation. And it is a question, but you have companies, the biggest food company in the world is Nestle. And tomorrow they announce that their motto going ahead is generation, regeneration. And they're taking it very seriously about, okay, we need to pivot
right.
to regenerative agricultural systems if we're going to continue to exist as a company. As a food company in this world, in this earth, at this time.
Paul Hawken is an environmentalist and also the author of Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. The new book came out yesterday. Paul joined us on the phone from the San Francisco Bay Area. He's also an entrepreneur and activist. He's dedicated his life to environmental sustainability and changing the relationship between business and the environment. Paul Hawken, thank you so much for taking the time.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.